Blog Talk Radio.
From the deepest, darkest Africa, across the polar ice cap, spanning the jungles of South America, without a compass, without a map, the SRI Label Group, Wildlife Educational Services, and Blog Talk Radio present Larry Batson's Wild World. Discover with us the wonders of the natural world with nationally known wildlife educator Larry Batson as we discover his wild world.
Well, hello, everyone, from the remote jungles of Clinton Falls, Indiana. This is Larry Batson. Welcome to Wild World on this magical network we call Blog Talk Radio. Hope you're having a wonderful and a windy day here in west central Indiana. And as always, my co-host, broadcasting from Indianapolis, Indiana, the honorable, distinguished, and always prompt and on time, Dr. Henry Day. Good afternoon, Doctor.
Why, good afternoon, Mr. Batson. Yeah, the wind is blowing pretty strong here. We had a bunch of sparrows out under the bird feeder. Last time I looked out, they were all pinned against the fence.
We lost our bird feeder. It got blown off the stand and it pummeled to the ground, and I hope it's not too heavily damaged.
We'll yeah, it's going lawn chairs, and they were out on your patio. You're going to have to go two blocks to get them.
Yeah, you have to go catch the lawn chairs. Then they can move pretty quickly. So are you ready with the Wild World news, Dr. Day?
I guess I am.
Okay.
It's now time from his broadcasting mecca in Indianapolis, Indiana, the distinguished Dr. Henry Day with the Wild World News.
Good afternoon. We're approaching the end of February. This month is fleeting.
It is fast. Whoosh.
Yeah, and that's because the wind's blowing so hard.
That
all right,
too.
Well, we're going to start out our news today in Los Angeles. Yeah,
cool.
Cute story from Los Angeles. Researchers have discovered a group of rare owls thriving in a nature preserve near Los Angeles International Airport. Uh-huh. Now, these are
no.
And they've sighted about 10 of them there next to the LAX dunes. Now, that's the most they've seen there in about 40 years.
Wow, that's cool.
That is cool. Now, among the raptors are a breeding pair that stand guard over a nest, so they have babies. Now,
mm-hmm.
The scientists attribute the return of the migratory owls to the ongoing restoration work done at the 300-acre preserve that used to be beachfront community of Surf Ridge. Yeah.
Mm.
Put the airport in. The neighbors couldn't stand it. They all moved out. Well, that's good because nature is taking over. The neighborhoods disappeared decades ago as the jet age boomed and have recently been reclaimed by a sand, the flora, and the fauna of the area.
Oh, that's very cool.
Because it brought the burrowing owls in.
Oh, that's
when I was
cool.
Stationed in El Paso, we would go out on the range and run the tanks. And whenever we were on the tank range, there were a pair of these little burrowing owls that lived out there in the desert. Quite cute. Got to watch them a lot.
Oh, they are. People love owls.
They are special creatures.
Yes.
Don't go into the light. Waluku.
Okay.
Bye. Don't go into the light. Two environmental groups are suing Maui officials over plans to replace about 5,000 streetlights with LED fixtures. Now, they're claiming that the new lights will threaten the seabirds and the sea turtles who use the moon and the stars to navigate.
Right.
The lights bring them into shore.
Hmm.
Send them too far inland, and, you know, that's not good.
No, it's not. And, you know, you can see both sides of that story. I'm really on the fauna side, but you can understand the other side as well. It's too bad.
Yeah, well, they're going to fight and see what they can do about it. All right, now don't pick up hitchhikers.
Okay.
The seal pup is back in the ocean after being rescued from a road, yes, in Salisbury, Massachusetts. Yeah, so quit calling the little guy is all right. I think he was probably hitchhiking to Boston for some clam chowder.
I'll bet he was. Ah, that's funny.
Yeah. Springfield, Missouri. Yeah, the Dickerson Park Zoo announced this week that a critically endangered maned wolf pup was born January the 4th. Now, they just know, like they do in a lot of these cases, to make sure the animal's healthy and before it, you know, gets viewed by the public. But that's really cool. The maned wolf.
That is cool. Yeah, that is very cool. In fact, we did a presentation with Jim Fowler at that particular zoo many, many years ago, and it's a nice zoo.
Well, it's gotten better. It has a new pup.
Yeah. Yes, it has.
Well, exactly what did you do when you were there with Jim Fowler?
Well, it was one of those deals where they invited him to speak for a special banquet for the zoo, a fundraising banquet, and of course, whenever they ask him to speak, they say, bring your animals, and he does not have any animals. But he knows guys from different parts of the country that will bring their animals and travel and do a program with him. So that's exactly what we did. We went to Missouri several times. Oh, gosh, Georgia, New Mexico, you name it.
Do you remember Los Angeles. What animals you took?
I don't have a clue. I think we took a big wolf with us, and I think we took a big tiger. And you know, all the zoobers, we call them the zoobers, the people that work at the zoo, that really... You know, they think they're on a high pedestal, but see, from our angle, they just show up for work and clock in every day, whereas they don't have to figure out how to pay to feed the animals and so forth. And so that always kind of got me when they kind of think they're better than you animal people, when really they're not.
Yeah.
Or they could have had the animals to provide for Jim instead of us traveling there, so.
That is correct.
Yeah.
All right. Now, do you know what key I like to sing in?
No, what key?
Key Marathon, Florida.
Oh.
Yeah, now, here's a good idea. Another ship scuttling to create an artificial reef may be designated for the Florida Keys National Marine Sanctuary. City officials began planning to file for permits this last week with the sanctuary, the Army Corps of Engineers, and other agencies to execute a signature artificial reef project off of Marathon Key. Now, Marathon is one of my favorite keys. I used to go down and rent a cabin there, go deep sea fishing, just enjoy it. Scuba diving, just a beautiful area.
Man, I bet it is. I've never been there.
That's cool. They're going to scuttle a ship and create a, you know, natural reef for wildlife there.
Sure, that's cool.
All right, now Wildlife Educational Services wants to send out a big thank you to the Fort Collins, Colorado Rocky Mountain Raptor Program. They rescued a record 338 birds of prey in 2018, cared for them, treated them back to health, and released them to the wild. Good job.
Good.
That's
yeah,
the Rocky
fantastic.
Mountain Raptor Program. And if you
can
assist in any way, please do.
Yeah, we'll applaud that.
Yeah. All right. Boise, Idaho. This is going to kind of make you a little bit mad. We got to do it, though. Race legislation to keep operating a state board that pays a federal agency to kill wolves that attack livestock and elk is on its way to government Brad Little. Governor Brad Little. You got that name?
Yes, I do. I'm writing it down as you speak.
Okay, now, they're having problems with wolves attacking their livestock and elk, which should be okay.
Right.
Because that's their natural prey, right?
Right, yes.
Now, I know you have a lot of friends that raise all different kinds of livestock. And how are they solving these problems with wolves?
Oh, there's several ways to do it. You could either put a couple Great Pyrenees in their herd of livestock, you know, cattle or sheep. I assume it's sheep that they're worried about. And Great Pyrenees work, so do llamas. And but the dogs are the best, the big dogs.
So think we could save a lot of money if we got a couple of great Pyrenees, a llama, or even a buffalo.
There you go. Absolutely, yeah. I'm telling you.
So the name is Boise, Idaho, Governor Brad Little.
Yeah,
all right, they're sighting herds of turtles in Galveston, Texas. Organizers say the first 19 Kemp's Ridley sea turtle statues in the city's Turtle About Town project are completed and showing up around Galveston.
Cool.
Yes, giant turtles. We're trying to teach the public, educate the public about the Kemp's Ridley sea turtles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good way to do it.
That's right.
Okay, I don't know if you heard about this or not. Hastings, Nebraska, this last weekend, the third annual Bigfoot Conference drew an estimated 700 people to the city.
Wow.
Were you
aware
of that?
No. I was not.
I'm surprised they didn't ask you to speak there.
Well, I was busy. Yesterday I was speaking Bigfoot to a group of Cub Scout and Boy Scouts for a banquet they had in Boone County, and I've probably ruined camping for them forever.
I can imagine so. Yes, I went on one of your Bigfoot showings with another set of Boy Scouts, and there were probably 130 people there.
Well,
and the scoutmasters told me that's the quietest those scouts have ever in their life.
That's my goal. That's my goal. Respect the outdoors.
That is right.
Yeah.
Now, for our listeners in Las Cruces, New Mexico, I spent a lot of time in that area. The Land of Enchantment Wildlife Foundation is seeking volunteers from the southern New Mexico area to assist with injured animals this year.
Hmm.
So please, if you can help out. Now, don't we have a friend, Doug, who is a reptile curator at a zoo out there in New Mexico somewhere?
Yeah, he is in New Mexico. And you know who I really think would like to get involved with this effort? I mean, because he just loves animals, he loves the outdoors, and I think he'd just be so perfectly suited for it.
You're with us, Dave.
Oh, hey, guys. I always listen. You always ask me every week, are you there? You know I'm there, but you always ask me. It's just like, here's Dave Davies of the Kinks. And, you know, I don't mind, but, you know, I'm always listening. I love you guys. You got great guests, too, all the time.
Oh, well, guess what, Dave? Guess who our guest is today? We haven't announced it officially yet.
No, I don't know. I'm sure it's somebody really important.
Oh, important and smart, and it'll be quite entertaining. Our guest today is going to be Dr. Henry Day.
No, why? I love that Dr. Henry Day. You know, he's quite a funny character.
In more ways than one.
Yes, if they only knew. And was pretty exciting. Now, I was talking to my brother Ray the other day, and he was, you know, those questions that some of the guests ask you, and Dr. Day, you come up with them. We got one for you. Would you rather be trapped in an elevator with 100 rabid bats with diarrhea, or Barry Manilow?
Oh, I am so sorry, but I have to go with the rabid bats with diarrhea. I'm afraid
well,
I have.
Me and Dave thought too. That was our choice.
Yeah, I think you're heading in the right direction, Dave.
Thank you, guys. I might check back in later in the show. Get on with
it. Okay. Sorry,
Dave. Dave.
I didn't mean to cut him off like that, but Blog Talk Radio's controls are kind of running their own show today. So it's kind of.
That's because
people have
gas.
Well, I don't know about that, but yeah, so. folks, bear with me today.
Let's do the local news and move on. The Indianapolis Zoo welcomed a baby giraffe February the 11th. Now the giraffe is the seventh child, but the first daughter for Mother McKenna.
Oh, that's so cool.
Her first baby girl. Yeah, that is.
Yeah,
cool.
That's very cool.
All right, now here's some new old news, or some old new news.
Yeah.
They have found the fossil of some spiders that lived more than 110 million years ago that had reflective eyes.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah, now listen to this. This is pretty cool. A collection of spider fossils discovered in South Korea had eyes which appeared to glow. Now, the fossils were discovered in an area of shale rock in South Korea called the Jinju Formation.
Mm.
Now, when they got into the shale, researchers say two of the fossils of the spider family, believed to be about 110 million to 113 million years old, had reflective eyes that were helpful for hunting at night. Because the spiders were preserved in a strange silvery flex on a dark rock, which immediately was obvious that their rather large eyes, brightly marked with crescent shapes, glowed in the dark. Yeah.
Wow.
Jail open, they could see their eyes glowing. Now, yeah,
that's cool.
Now, typically spiders and other insects are preserved in amber because their bodies are a little softer, and unlike, you know, the animal fossils, which are composed of harder substances like bones and teeth, they use them for... But researchers, they're still trying to figure out how the spiders became preserved in the shale without decaying. Now, they think that it was a very special situation where they were washed into a body of water, and normally they would float, but instead they sank, and that kept them away from the decaying bacteria. And it was a low oxygen condition where there was very little oxygen in the water. Caused them to sink the shale over years and years and years. But, they're really excited about it because I've seen pictures of them, and, their eyes, they glow. Now, what would be creepy is to be in a room with them at night and see all those eyes looking at you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, I'm slightly changing the subject, but yesterday I saw a rather disturbing video, only because of my love for them. But it was from South America, and they showed these two young ladies, beautiful young ladies, preparing tarantulas for dinner.
Oh, yes. I lived in Panama, and, they burn the hair off of them, and then eat them.
Yeah. Well, this was a little bit more involved than that. I mean, they had special seasonings and particular local herbs and vegetables that they put in with it, and there was two or three processes to it, and... And it showed these beautiful young ladies consuming these tarantulas, and I just couldn't view anymore.
Because you love tarantulas.
That's right, yeah. So.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You know, they make itching powder out of tarantula hair and skin.
They do. Well.
Yeah, originally now. It's probably synthetic now, but when you would buy itching powder, you could actually see the hairs and skin from tarantulas.
That's fantastic.
All right, well, fact of the day, on average, since we're talking spiders, people fear spiders more than they do death.
Really? I guess.
I know a lot of people who are terrified of spiders, but, you know, I happen to love spiders. In fact, many, many years ago, I think back in the 80s, I had one of my pet black widows on the television show.
I remember that. I think I kept it for you after the fact, and I had it for some time.
Yeah, that's because I left the lid ajar one time, and spiders, like the black widows, they can mate one time in their life and continue to lay eggs for the rest of their life. Well, I was on a trip to El Paso to pick up some papier-mâché parrots for a party, and I was there for 3 days and was leaving and thought, man, I'd like to have a black widow spider to take back because I used to live in El Paso, and they're pretty abundant. So I was walking down with my suitcase in my hand down the front steps of a friend's house when I had my hand on the handrail, and I thought, well, I'll just look underneath the handrail. And there was a black widow spider there. Ran back in the house, got a little sack, put it in my pocket, and flew home.
Wow, that's cool.
And that's the spider that was on the show. But anyway, yeah.
No.
Well, and the reason why you ended up with it was because one day at the house, I had to lit a jar. She had laid eggs. And when I got home that night, the baby spiders were dropping off of the side of the tank. Yeah, so I figured I was going to have plenty anyway, so.
Well, you remember the story when I had the Leora scorpions from Israel? And every morning, Cheryl would get up and count the scorpions that were in the aquarium and make sure all three of them were in there. Because they're probably one of the most dangerous arachnids on this planet. So, yeah. People just don't appreciate bugs.
No, they don't.
No.
Yeah, I remember a shipment of vinegar-owned whiptail scorpions that I had sent you, and one of them made his way through the side of the box, and there were a couple of less when they got there.
Yeah. I can remember when at the old shop we had, the animal shop, one of the employees tipped over an aquarium, and we watched seven or eight imperator scorpions crawl through the register and into the basement and never saw them again.
And now
there's a restaurant in that particular building. So I don't know if they've surfaced since, but I'm sure they would have survived with no problem.
Yeah, that would be fun to find out. Because I've found scorpions before, and they usually cling to the parent's back. And when I lived in Panama, I had one come into my room one night, and I had the early 70s blacklight posters, and I could see him moving across the floor. He glowed in the dark.
Wow.
It was like that.
That's cool.
Well, of course, I had to find some more.
Yeah, of course.
All right, well, you know what time of day it is?
No, I have no idea.
It's time to play Who's Gotten Older?
Oh. Well, birthday. Well, Dr. Day, we have no guest today to compete against me and Who Got Older. But guess what? I have a surprise for Dr. Day.
Tell me.
Competing against me today on Who's Gotten Older, the game that I truly hate, despise, cannot stand, is the local cable television host of Indianapolis, Phil Voigt's with us, Dr. Day.
No way. Phil Voigt's here?
Yeah.
That
Phil?
Unbelievable. That's really cool.
How you doing, Dr. Day? Long time no say.
That's right. It has been a long time. How have you been?
I've been excellent. Couldn't be any better. Got lots of things going on in my life, and having a great time.
Well, it's great to have you on the show.
It is. It's outstanding. So tell Phil, if you don't mind, Dr. Day, the rules of Who Got Older.
Yeah. How's this work, Doc?
Well, what we do is I will give you a celebrity's name who's gotten older this past week, and you guess and tell me how old they are, or if you know, guess exact. And at the end of this, we'll tell you what you've won.
If he beats me. Though I never win though. That's the problem.
I'll go easy on you. Let's start the game.
Let's do it.
That's right.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Now, one of my favorites and one of your favorites too. One of the greatest vocalists in the world, Yoko Ono, had a birthday this past week.
Go ahead, Phil.
It's not multiple choice. I take it so. Okay.
No.
Let's take it from the top there. I would say Yoko's probably 77.
I'll say 70.
Whoa. Well, uh-oh. Yoko turned 86 on Monday.
Jesus. I mean, a lot.
Afraid,
my goodness.
Boyd was a little closer. We're going to have to give that one to him.
Oh, I hate this game.
Well, she's holding up a lot better than I imagined then, I guess.
She still has a beautiful voice.
Oh, yes, yes.
All right, gentlemen. I'm glad Phil's here with us because it'll make this a little more interesting. And we'll have to give a little bio on Phil when we come back. Okay.
Sure.
Dennis DeYoung of Styx.
Wow, that's a hard one. Is this in donkey years?
You want to go first this time here, Larry?
No, go ahead. I'm still deciphering.
I'm going to go with a nice round odd number like 75.
I'll say 70 again.
Oh, Mr. Batson was a little closer on this one. Dennis turned 72 on Monday.
Well, that's a rare occurrence. That doesn't happen very often.
I would have thought he was. Yeah, I would have thought he was a lot older than me, but I guess not.
Well.
Okay, now you guys might get a little closer on this one. Vinny Barbarino, alias John Travolta.
95.
just breaking 80, I'm going on.
I'm giving this one away.
Come on, Phil, what do you say?
I think 80 because, you know, I remember watching him as I was a child watching that fool in the very first show. He was on TV there, you know?
Yeah.
Mr. Batson?
Welcome back, Cotter, or whatever it was.
Yeah, that's right. Vinny.
The dreams with your ticket out.
That's right. you've disqualified my guess. Okay, I'll do it again. What did Phil say? I'm sorry. I should take notes.
Phil said 80.
Oh, he did? Okay. Well, I'll do 75.
Well, John only actually turned 65 this past week. 60 years old.
Sorry.
Yeah, you guys will be getting some hate mail here for too long.
Oh, I hear it already. Yeah.
I apologize for that.
I was going to say
okay,
he looks really good
a
for
rarity,
80, though,
Mr.
Right?
Batson is tied.
How'd that happen?
All right.
Before we go any further, Dr. Day, I had this tidbit I'd like to share with everyone before we go to the next question from our good friend Emil Phillips.
Please.
A computer once beat me at chess, but was no match for me at kickboxing. Emil Phillips.
I like that. That, you know, if you know Emo, then you will understand that joke.
I understand
it.
I
see it quite
visually. I apologize. I had to use that somewhere.
Speaking of who's older, Dr. Day, which one of us do you think are older, me or Sir Larry?
Oh, well, I think I can easily say Mr. Batson is 3 years older than you.
Really?
Are we going to tell the truth?
Are
we telling the truth there? Is that that's what's happening there?
Yeah, we're trying to be truthful.
Okay.
I'm 66.
I recently turned retirement age. I'm now 65.
I've only got a year on you.
The senior discounts, and I take advantage of the every senior menu I come across now.
I refuse.
Yeah, my 65 is not until July.
Oh, and there's Social Security.
Yeah.
Yes, there
that's
is.
That's a fun. Yeah, that's a good thing. At least for
all me. Right, guys. One of your favorites, again, game show hostess Vanna White had a birthday this past week.
Oh, my Lord. Let's see. Go ahead, Phil.
I'm guessing she's about my age. I'm going with the 65.
I'll say 70.
Ooh.
Oh.
Well, Vanna is going to be mad at one of you. She was only 62 this past week.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I hate this game. The hatred I have.
I see why you hate
game.
This game.
It mounts. I just, the hatred I feel, I just mounts and mounts and mounts.
Am I winning? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Yes, you are ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're old enough. You guys remember steel guitarist Rusty Young of Poco?
Sure.
Certainly.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, go ahead, Phil.
Rusty is.
It's up to me again. I'd say Rusty Young is not young anymore, so we're going to have to go with... I'll go with Larry 70. That seems to be a popular number for him. So.
Oh, well, maybe I'll try 62.
Well, yeah, he is old. Rusty turned 73 this past week.
Oh,
73.
God bless.
Yeah.
Hatred. I hate it.
That's a good one for the old Phil Void.
Yeah.
Are you a lighter shade of pale now, Mr. Batson?
Yeah, I think I am.
Okay, well, you can redeem yourself with this one. Guitarist Brad Whitford of Aerosmith had a birthday this past week.
I'll say 66.
And I'll say 60.
Ooh. He actually turned 67 this past week. Mr. Batson, you were 1 year off. Actually, he was 66 this past week, and he did turn
67.
Yeah, lucky dang guess.
Okay.
He's just trying to make you feel better.
Yeah, I know. 200 and some odd shows later, I got him figured out.
All right, we're talking Tears of a Clown, which just kind of pisses me off because I remember all those pictures in the 70s of the clowns with the big eyes and the tears. And I don't know, Smokey, Tears of a Clown, really? Smokey had a birthday on Tuesday this past week. How did Smokey Robinson turn?
110.
82.
I'll stick with mine.
110. He wishes.
Okay, Dr. Day.
Well, Smokey turned 79 on Tuesday.
Oh, really? I would have thought he was a lot older than that. My gosh. Goodness gracious.
He must have been a child when he first started his career, that's all.
Oh, my gosh, he must have been.
All right, anyway. Let's finish this up. I'm afraid it's hopeless, but we're going to do it anyway. Singer, Seal.
Now, that was really good. That was outstanding.
Well, he kept it in the animal format, so we're still on the same page. Okay,
yeah.
Seal.
Right. How old did Seal turn this past week?
Go ahead, Phil.
58. 58 years old.
I think he's right. I'll say 50.
Oh, well, Mr. Void got you again. Seal actually turned 56 this past week.
My
yeah,
God.
I'm afraid you lost another one, Mr. Batson.
my God, I don't know if I can take this much longer.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? Anyway, well, let's finish it up here. I lost again. Okay, so tell Phil what he won.
Well, Phil, unfortunately, because you won, you're forced to be on the show again.
Well, good, good. I have some up-and-coming news. I was recently in a film, a local film creator. It's a horror movie about the old Hannah House. Looking forward to share that with you, some trailers. It'll be called The Witch House. I've got a little cameo in the middle of that. I'm looking forward to sharing that with the public.
Well, tell us
right
now.
I've been really busy, boys. Say again?
Well, go ahead, Henry. Yeah, go ahead, Henry.
Well, share it with us, Mr. Void. Tell us what's going on.
Well, it's still in the works. It probably won't be done until fall, but it's based on a short story by Lovecraft. And the Hannah House is basically the format of the story. There's a young girl moves in and becomes possessed and doesn't really know what's going on. And the story, it's well done. This friend of mine, a young and up-and-coming filmmaker, I'm looking forward to it. But watch for it this fall. I'll be plugging it. It's called Witch House.
Fantastic. And, gosh, that's an incredible film. And you were going to give everyone a little background on Mr. Void, Dr. Day?
Well, all I can say is he's one of the most unusual characters I've met in my life. It's been a pleasure to know him. He is a very special person.
You are too, Dr. Day. It's been a pleasure knowing you. You and Larry have been a shining light in this life of craziness. We were all talking about the old building back in the old days. I recall that building having monkeys and skunks and all kinds of things roaming around in there when I was working in there. So
that's right.
I still have, as you know, my Phil Boyd studio still up and running. I try to groom up and coming young talent, and that keeps me out. That's quite a hobby I got going on the side.
Well,
still involved.
Well, that's
art,
fantastic.
Well, Mr. Void, give people your website and so they can check out what's going on in your life.
Right now it's down, guys, but on my next visit, I'll be sure and have it all prepped and ready to go.
Fantastic. So, Dr. Day, go ahead.
It's been a pleasure talking to you guys, I'm telling you. Bring back a lot of great memories. Wagon Wheel Willie, for one, somebody we all love dearly.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was quite an extraordinary character himself.
Well, if you're not busy, then you can just hang out with us.
Yeah, just hang out, Phil.
All right. Well, I asked a question that I wanted to ask Larry. I've been thinking about it a long time. What was your very first pet? What creature did you first bring into your home and live with?
I believe it was a Florida Anole, the chameleon you get at the circus. And I think that was the first one. I also had mice. I kept mice sometimes. But, I think that's what got it all started. I think, but yeah,
like
the one little,
was a
little
chameleon.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, though you know, we lived where I grew up. We had a field across the street, and we had woods and everything. So I got a chance to go out and explore and bring all sorts of things home that make my mother rather upset. So it was brutal.
Because I always wondered about your obsession with reptiles and where it began and what started it. You know.
Well, the reptile thing just kind of fell in suit because it's easier to maintain a collection of reptiles versus lions and tigers and bears. So you have kind of much more of a setup. So, but once we had that setup, Yeah, once we had the setup, and yeah, we expanded quickly, rather quickly. So yeah, but yeah, I think it was a circus chameleon, Carolina Anole from Florida. I think that was it. Well, Dr. Day, are you finished?
We did Who's Gotten Older?
Yeah.
And the fact of the day. So we're basically.
Well, fantastic. Well, once again, a great job done by Dr. Henry Day and his staff at the Wild World News headquarters in Indianapolis, Indiana. We want to remind everyone that our program is underwritten by SRIRecords.com and SRI Label Group. What a tremendous website this is. Shelley Leibowitz and his group, Country, Rock, Jazz, Blues. And here's the deal, folks. You can listen to recordings, the entire recordings, before you purchase them. Listen to the whole thing. Usually you just get samples, but not at the SRILabelGroup.com. They make it possible for Wild World to be on Blog Talk Radio. For well over 250 shows here on Blog Talk Radio. What a great guy he is, and one of the most interesting characters you'll ever meet. The Honorable Distinguished Dr. Henry Day is our guest this week on our own show, Wild World. Hi, Doc.
Why, good afternoon. Sure, hey, we've got Phil Voigt join us there. Is he still with us?
He is still with us, absolutely. Yes.
Absolutely. I'm sure. I wouldn't miss a minute of it, guys.
Oh, we're so glad. So glad. Dr. Day, where were you born? I don't think I know that for sure.
Well, I'm a person of the South Wind. I'm from Kansas. People from Kansas are known as people of the South Wind.
And why is that?
A lot of tornadoes.
Okay.
And so it gives that wind a chance to pick up as it moves across the plains.
So, a young man growing up in Kansas, what did you do in your free time?
Well, I spent a lot of time in nature and hiding from tornadoes.
Oh. Well,
yeah, we had rattlesnakes. We had just a little bit of everything, and I was surrounded by it. In those days, there weren't as many highways and buildings, and it was all open. Cornfield.
Yeah.
Fields and amber waves of grain.
Yes. When we go to Colorado, the stretch through Kansas is probably the longest part of the trip from Indianapolis. And I always enjoyed Kansas because of the rolling plains, and you could see forever. I mean, it was just unbelievable.
Yeah, when you're in the middle of Kansas at night, it's mm-hmm. like being on the ocean, being 100 miles offshore. And the stars are incredible.
I had a local from Kansas tell me that There's a beautiful woman behind every tree.
That is correct, yes.
Yeah.
There are hardly any trees in Kansas. What do you mean?
Hey.
Hey. Do I have to spell it out? What?
Yeah, I understand. I got it. I'm a little slow, but I got it.
Sorry to interrupt.
So
go ahead, Dave.
No, that's fine. Please do. So you grow up in Kansas, and so what? Where did you go? How did you ever end up in? Maybe I shouldn't move that far ahead, but end up in Indianapolis.
My mother met my father. He was in the Army, stationed at Fort Leavenworth, and they fell in love and brought three young boys up to. I started a fourth grade here in Indianapolis and graduated high school here, and then I was off to Panama, where I went to the Canal Zone College. Our Lady Under the Bridge, we called her. She was built on the Thatch Ferry Bridge on the Pacific side of Panama. But lived in Gamboa, which was out in the middle of the jungle, about 20 miles from, you could be at either ocean in a half an hour or so, because it was only 40 miles from ocean to ocean. So spent a lot of time there in Panama, which was a nature experience in itself.
I'll bet. My gosh. So what sort of things did you see in Panama?
Oh, well, just about anything you've seen on the Nature Channel, from giant bird-eating spiders, anteaters, caimans, howler monkeys, squirrel monkeys, poisonous vine snakes, boa constrictors, the ballisk lizards, you know, they call them the Jesus lizards. They could run halfway up the canal. Saw the butterfly migration a couple of times, which was an incredible experience. 3 days of monarch butterflies in the air. one of the things I really enjoyed at night, when all the howler monkey tribes would settle down, you could hear each tribe holler to the next so they would know where they were at night and thing in the morning when they wake up, let everybody know, because they're quite territorial and they don't want to cross paths, so they let each other know where they are. But that was really haunting and scary, and you weren't familiar.
You know, there's
tapirs, coatimundis, sloths. You know, you name it, and got to experience a jaguar on one occasion.
No.
Every colorful parrot that you can imagine. My father was a private pilot, owned his own plane, and was an instructor, so we had a couple of club planes that people could rent out to take their flying lessons. And we would fly around to the little islands around Panama, go on rescue missions, go diving. He was an expert diver. We dove shipwrecks around Panama. On the Pacific side of Panama, at the mouth of the Panama Canal, we found easily 17 shipwrecks.
Oh.
And were able to dive and recover bottles and nails. And we found cannons and stuff, but, you know, you can't really bring that stuff out from the bottom unless you've got some really heavy equipment. But I guess the Spaniards used to tie up at the mouth of the canal, and you know, they would dump their garbage over the side, their bottles and, you know, whatever, and we would take metal probes and probe the mud at the mouth of the canal, and you could tell by the sound, and we'd dig out bottles and just a plate, you know, just fun stuff. Now, one of the interesting things was we used to find these giant glass floats, and they were fishing from Japan. And they were probably, some of them were probably 16 inches tall. The glass would be an inch thick. They would tie them to their fishing nets. Well, the strange thing was these would wash up on the Atlantic side of Panama. And, you know, for a glass ball to travel from Japan all the way to Central America.
Wow.
Or being destroyed, you know, that was always amazing. You know, that's just one of the little things. One of the most incredible things I saw was, it was probably 73. We had a planetary alignment. There were 7-8 planets lined up.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused a large gravitational pull on the oceans with a full moon. And we had an extremely high and extremely low tide. And on the Atlantic side, the ocean would only go out a couple of feet when the tide would go out. So there was almost no change. On the Pacific side, it would go out from 17 to 25 feet. So you could walk a mile out into the ocean when the tide went out.
Oh, my gosh.
During these extremely high and low tides, the microscopic bacteria, the plankton, would wash up from the bottom, the glow-in-the-dark stuff. And as the waves come in, the waves would glow. Where they would great waves would glow. You could walk down to the water and put your hand in the water, and it was illuminated on all sides, like there were lights all the way around it, and it was a beautiful, ominous green glow. Bluish.
Wow.
We could walk along the beach, catch our hand, and it would sparkle like glitter. All due
That's to amazing.
Extremely high and low tides.
Wow. Our guest is Dr. Henry Day, our own Dr. Henry Day. And, of course, we have Phil Void, a local cable television TV host that we're so happy he's going to join us. We're going to take a short break. You're listening to Blog Talk Radio Wild World.
SRI Jazz is proud to present their newest release, This is Ray Brown Jr. That's right, Ella Fitzgerald's son continues to entertain audiences with his warm and charming vocals, making this one of the best vocal jazz albums of the year. Here are some sample tracks from the album. Visit our website to hear all of them in their entirety. Just go to srirecords.com or click on the banner in your media player now.
It's wonderful, marvelous, you should care for me. Awful nights, paradise, what I love to see. My baby, when she walks by, all the fellas go, I know why. Simply 'cause that girl's so fine. If she'd ever leave me, I'd lose my mind. She's got the kind of loving, kissing and a hugging, sure is mellow. Glad that I'm a fella, and I know, 'cause she knocked me off my feet. Have mercy on me. I know for certain, one I love. I'm through with flirting. It's you that I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving. Take the A train to go to Sugar Hill, way up in all.
You've been listening to a few sample tracks from the new album, This is Ray Brown Jr. You can hear all the songs in their entirety at srirecords.com. Support jazz music today at srirecords.com. Consideration provided by SRI Jazz.
This is Wild World on Blog Talk Radio, and from the SRI Label Group. You know, we ought to do a little thing. You know, on the American Bandstand, Dr. Day, remember those days, Phil?
Oh, yeah.
When they'd have a record? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, let me play something from the SRI Label Group, and we'll have Mr. Void and Dr. Day give us a rated record, whatever that means. Something very, very special from SRI Label Group.
I got on my knees and begged you not to leave, because I'd go berserk. Well, you left me anyhow, and then the days got worse and worse, and now you see I've gone completely out of my mind.
beautiful all the time. And I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats.
Oh, I love those white coats!
You thought it was a joke, and so you laughed and laughed when I had said that losing you would make me flip my lid. Right? You know you laughed, I heard you laugh, you laughed and laughed and laughed. And now you see, I've gone completely out of my mind. And chirping birds, basket weavers who sit and stare and twiddle their thumbs and their toes. Love, love, love. I cooked your food, I cleaned your house, and this is how you pay me back for all those kind of selfish loving deeds. Huh. Well, you just wait, they'll find you yet, and when they do, they'll put you in the ASPCA. You may be mine.
Record on Block Talk Radio. I need to turn my microphone back on.
Wow.
So it's Rate a Record. Oh, Tiny Tim.
I saw him get married on Johnny Carson.
Well, I think I did too. I think I did. I don't remember. So, Phil, what do you think of Tiny Tim's efforts toward disco?
Well, I usually appreciate a remake. I have to say this, maybe a little bit overproduced. You know, it seems a bit busy, but I appreciate the effort. You can dance to it. So,
yeah.
What are we rating it on? A 1 to 10? 1 to 100?
Yeah, 1 to 10. That's good.
1 to 10. We'll go with a, I'll give it a 5.
Dr. Day.
It was not as good as the original.
Tense too. If I just could get his face out of my mind, I might give it a 5.5.
Yeah. Okay. You know, there's someone else that was listening that might give us some insight on their thoughts of that recording. You know what I'm saying, Dr. Day?
I don't know what to tell you there, Larry. It's kind of disturbing. I can't quite. No. I'm going to have to say no. I don't want to dance to it. Don't want to hear it again. But, you know, it kind of wore me out.
I understand. Much like your brother, Dave?
Oh, yeah. Well, not as bad as my brother. He's a maniac.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your input.
Anytime, I'll be here if you need me.
Oh, well. Much for Rate a Record, and SRI Label Group are our underwriters. Hopefully, they did not hear our critique of Tiny Tim's. They're coming to take me away. anyway.
Well, if they've listened to the show, they know Dave can be a little wild.
Yeah, he can be. So speaking of wild, you're down there in the jungles of Panama, Dr. Day, and you're having all these amazing adventures discovering the wildlife of Central America. Did you think you'd died and gone to heaven?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting for me. As soon as I got there, the first thing I wanted to do was cut down a stock of bananas. I wanted to get my own bananas, and
yeah.
I did. And in the process, I found a three-toed sloth.
Oh, well, did you share any of your bananas with the sloth?
No, I didn't. I had to have my picture taken first. And
okay, so I have this question for you, Dr. Dave. Did those bananas taste any differently than the ones that we get at the grocery store?
Yes, they did. They do. These were, they have, oh, there's so many different varieties of bananas there. They call these elephant toes. And they were short and stocky, kind of little fat bananas. And they were very, very sweet, had a great taste to them.
Wow.
But yeah,
so you're running
bananas. And the banana tree itself is kind of like a weed. It is so thin, with one swipe, you can cut through it with a machete.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
On a related subject, gentlemen, I know you guys appreciate trivia, but you realize the bananas were considered an omen in early sailor days. No one was allowed to bring bananas on aboard a boat. Still kind of a no-no based on your friends, the spider.
Because oh,
yeah. Bring spiders on board, and people would be bitten and die from it. And so sailors were just, if you want to get in a lot of trouble in the old day, even today, hardcore sailors will not let you bring a banana on board.
Huh.
It's a phobia.
Yeah.
I learned that while I was in a sailing for a while there.
Oh.
I would go to the grocery store as a kid and I'd go through the bananas looking for a banana spider because I wanted one.
Well, you know,
both of you.
I absolutely believe it. And you know, Dr. Day, that now plants, they're watching plants that even come from just Florida, because there's more than one time a greenhouse has gotten in a shipment of plants from Florida and there'd be snakes and so forth in them. And I think I'd heard in the past where there was a pygmy rattlesnake that had been stowed away in a shipment of plants or fruit or something and bit somebody in a...
One of our stories on one of our shows in the past.
Yeah.
Years ago, my brother had ordered some plants up from Atlanta. They came in, and he was getting ready to plant them and found a little constrictor coiled up in the plant and brought it to me. Cared for it for a couple of years until I felt it was healthy enough to go, and then he was turned loose to do his duty catching mice. But, oh, yeah,
well,
it happens all the time. We used to get lots of flowers for conventions from Ayers Flower Shop that used to be downtown. And we were always finding anoles and all types of insects, toads. Yeah, so that's why you're not allowed to transport a lot of things across state lines.
Well, it makes sense. It absolutely does. So what happens after Panama with that adventure, Doc?
Well, let's see. After that, I relocated to Tampa, Florida. Worked at Busch Gardens.
What did you do at Busch Gardens?
Well, I did pastel portraits in an area called Stanleyville. Because it's all an African theme.
Yeah.
And then I found out that I could make a little more money because when you do portraits, pastel portraits, it takes, you know, maybe a half an hour to do a good portrait. Well,
sure.
I found if I did a character cartoons, I could do them a lot faster. I could do them in a couple of minutes, and I would make money. So I moved out to what they called treetops, which is probably the best job I've ever had in the world. I would sit at a desk with an overhead projector and do caricature cartoons at a hospitality house. That means, you know, Busch Gardens, they served beer there.
Yeah.
So while people were enjoying a cool beer, I was drawing cartoons. You get a couple of beers in, everybody wants a cartoon.
You sure?
Where the good thing for me was, I used to get a large Pepsi glass, and I would also enjoy the beer. So I basically drew cartoons and drank beer all day. Yeah. And when I tell people that story, they ask me, why did you leave?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, but I was afraid.
Did you have to go into treatment?
No, but I did see lots of wild animals. I could look out over the Serengeti Range and see giraffes and gazelles and zebra and ostrich. It's just a really nice job. Except on the way to treetops, I'd have to pass the ostrich cages, and they were the meanest creatures at Busch Gardens.
Oh, yeah. People have no idea.
I think they would have eaten me.
Well, their problem is that middle toe, they can open you up like a sack of potatoes, and they won't think twice about doing it. I mean, it's just like, they're not what people think they are.
Yeah, they're not the friendliest animals.
No. They're not just a big chicken.
Let's see.
So I have we stayed years ago. We were up at Wild World Wildlife Park in Largo, Maryland. Jim Fowler was running that park, and we just stayed up there for 2 or 3 days, if I recall. And it was pretty cool because they had hyenas. Now, did Busch Gardens have hyenas?
Yeah, they did.
Man, at night, these incredible calls would come out from these hyenas. I mean, it was just absolutely amazing. You kind of felt like you were in Africa. Then Jim Fowler told the story when they were actually filming Wild Kingdom in Africa that they'd have to build these thorn bush fences around the camp where the hyenas would come in at night and drag you out of the tent. So I remember him telling that story as I'm listening to hyenas. And then we had a hyena. Do you remember that, Dr. Day?
Oh, yeah. I remember once he bit down, he didn't let go.
Now, it hurt a lot, and not even trying. And they do. They have the strongest jaws of any land mammal. And that particular hyena, a friend cared for it for years later, and he gave it a bowling ball to play with, and it just basically chewed it up in the size of quarters.
I can believe that.
Oh, my gosh. So that would have to be very cool, working at Busch Gardens, big art guy, on your own. Single life, man, perfect weather.
Yep, I enjoyed it.
I'll bet you did, Doctor.
I could catch coral snakes outside the house. There was a black racer that lived on my pitcher plants out front. I tried to catch him for 2 years. Never could catch him.
Oh.
And bamboo in the yard. This bamboo was probably the size, circumference of a dinner plate. And it would grow.
Oh, my God.
It would grow a foot a day. I measured it. Bamboo grass. And it was amazing. It grew a foot a day. Had orange trees, tangerine trees, grapefruit tree. The only problem was the neighbor had hunting dogs and peacocks.
Yeah.
And every night, a grapefruit would hit the ground, and Old Blue, old hound dog, would start yelling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the other dogs yelling, and then it would wake up the peacocks that sat on the top of the house. Now, if you want a guard dog, get you a peacock.
Yeah,
they'll sit on the highest area of your property there, and nothing can get within a mile of the house. You will know it.
Oh, my. Yeah. That's almost like
most nights when a grapefruit would hit the ground.
That's like the early pioneers. They used to keep guinea hens around their cabins and campsites and so forth because they would tell them if Native Americans were moving in on them. So, yeah, it was – notice how politically correct I am. It's unbelievable. We're talking to Dr. Henry Day here on Wild World on Blog Talk.
Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Newports. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Listen. You know, sometimes I feel like that, too. I'd be around 1,000 people, and yet I'd be lonely. It's the truth. But you know, when I feel like that, what I do, I call up Mr. Billy Preston, and I say, that's what I did.
Charles on Blog Talk Radio from SRI Label Group, srilabel.com. Check out the website, country, rock, blues, jazz. It's all there. Shelley Leibowitz, the CEO of probably the greatest website for recorded music that you can download, the srilabelgroup.com.
Amen.
Amen is right, and we wish Shelley all the best. He's just been absolute great supporter of our program. So, Dr. Day, now, a lot of people don't know this, but not only is Dr. Day a doctor, but he's also an expert horticulturist and a herpetologist, biologist, zoologist, all these different things. He is quite phenomenal, his knowledge of these items. And as I've always said in the past, he's been such a great co-host for this show, as well as keeping our relations with Dave Davies on the up, because, you know, I've upset him a couple times, and Dr. Day has had to call him up and mend fences, and I appreciate that.
Well, we love Dave, and we wish him no harm, but, you know.
Yeah, I know. Another thing that a lot of people, and I know Phil realizes this, but also Dr. Day, is quite the musician, songwriter, and so forth, and he said that you might have a little ditty for us for this very special program that you are the guest on. after 270 shows that you've co-hosted?
I didn't have anything planned or prepared, but I'm not too far from a guitar and the snare drums.
You all right?
Snare drums on the way.
Everything okay? Oh, that sounds wonderful.
How's that sound?
It sounds beautiful.
While he's like tuning up, can I shamelessly plug Bill Boyd on SoundCloud?
Yes.
You can go there
yes.
and listen to some of my music. I have quite a collection there under Phil Boyd. So, you know me. I got to plug where I can, guys.
That's right.
Go ahead, sorry to interrupt again.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, I think I got her tuned up. Let's see.
Oh, good.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. This is the very first song I wrote. I was living in Tampa, was at a garage sale, bought an old Harmony guitar from around 1956 for $5. Had two strings on it. It was a female body. Quite lovely, a starburst pattern. Took it home, put some new strings on it, and after a few days, this was the very first song I wrote. Late last night, lightning struck my cat. They shut off my water. Had to put him out with a baseball bat.
Oh, my Lord. That brought tears to my eyes, Dr. Day.
It is moving.
Yeah, well, you know, that was my first song, my first guitar. And then my next song, let's see if I can do it. Now, I haven't picked up a guitar in quite a while, so let's see if we can do this. If your shoes got holes, stay out of the water, or your laces will rot sooner than they oughta. Your tongue will drop off, and so will your soles. So stay out of the water. If you got a hole. Now if
once
you
again.
Got holes, stay out of the weather, or your laces will rot, and so will the leather. Your tongue will fall off, and so will your soles. So stay out of the water if you got a hole.
Oh my God, once again. A moving moment on Wild World on Blog Talk Radio.
Informative and entertaining.
There are people crying everywhere.
I know one's crying right here.
Okay, here's a song that my grandfather used to sing to me when I was knee-high to a married grasshopper.
Okay.
I once knew a girl named Mirandy. I once knew a girl named Mirandy. She lived away out on a hill. Her old man, he was a bootlegger. They tended to 49 stills. They made their corn liquor from carbide. And oh boy, did it have a wang. Every night when I'd see my Mirandy, this is always the song that I sang. Well, you may be as old as the Rockies. You may be as wet as the sea. Your hair looks just like a sagebrush. Your figure is a cottonwood tree. Your teeth, they look just like a hay rake. And your mouth, it looks just like a plow. You've got a shape like a box. But you're sweet to me somehow.
I just don't know what to say.
I know.
That's romantic.
Very romantic. Very romantic, yes. Yeah.
That touched several emotions in me. Not that long ago.
Well put, Larry. Well put.
Touched several. Oh, my gosh. We're discovering so much about Dr. Henry Day. You know, these, like I said,
200 shows, and this is the first time you've had him entertained?
Well, he entertains every time, but
we've had so many great guests. I would rather hear the guests.
Tell Phil, if you don't mind, Dr. Day, some of the guests we've had on the show.
Oh, wow. It's endless. In fact, there's like 16 pages of guests. It's frightening.
Oh.
Yeah, Larry has ran through some of that. I'm honored to be here today, guys. It really means a lot to me. I'll treasure this moment.
Well, yeah, I treasure it as well, Phil. I mean, we'll have to do this.
Oh, yes. It's a must.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to have Phil back to so we can talk about this movie. Because the Haunted House is a local known haunted house.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And everybody knows who Lovecraft is, right? The author. This is based roughly on a short story by him. I tell you what, if you want to go to Facebook and look for Witch House, and you'll see trailers for the movie under that heading. And keep you up to date on how the movie's going before its completion and when we'll have the premiere. So I'm excited about it. It's something different. It's a new project.
Yeah, well, it's very exciting. Well, Dr. Day, you've given us a wonderful show this afternoon. My gosh.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on, and it was really fun having a surprise guest, Phil Voigt, today.
Oh, I know. You know, to have such a professional in our midst, it only makes us better.
That's right. Amen.
Well, have a great week, everybody. This is Larry Batson, broadcasting from Clinton Falls, Indiana, and to close out our show, in honor of Dr. Henry Day.
I've got one more thing before we go.
Okay, go ahead.
I want everybody to remember this. Elephants can't jump, kangaroos can't fart, and slugs have four nostrils.
Oh, well, once again, that is a great week, everybody.
Thank you, Mr. Boyd.
Thank you, gentlemen. Have a good day. Carry on, America.
Don't go walking slow. The devil's on the loose. It'll run through. Hi, everyone. This is Shelley Leibowitz. You're listening to my friend Larry Batson's Wild, Wild World on Raw Talk Radio.